Thank you, Joel. It says, by this, people will know that we are his disciples, that we have love for one another. That's the key fruit that people will see and know that we're his disciples. That's how important it is. So I'm just going to share very briefly about the requirement for baptism, and just explain it very simply. We're going to have a baptism today. Jacob, my son, and he talked to me last week, or on Friday. He talked to me on Friday, and it just came into his heart when he was reading. It just, I have to be baptized. There's just an urgency. He never experienced that before, and he'll share a little bit about that. I want to look in Acts 8. I'm just going to summarize it. There was an Ethiopian. He was reading in Isaiah. He didn't know what he was reading. The Holy Spirit told Philip to go on this road and then told him to overtake this chariot where the Ethiopian was. And he said, do you know what you're reading? And he says, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And so he started from there in that passage in Isaiah 55 there. And he said he went and explained Jesus, right? He explained the gospel. And Philip opened his mouth, there's verse 35, and the beginning of the scripture preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Okay, there's a requirement for baptism. If you believe with all your heart. Believe what? Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. See how simple that is? So now, there's many who say, oh, I believe. So we're just going to be baptizing everyone who says, I believe. Let's look in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Okay, so the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2 there, and Peter gave a sermon, and it says that I think 3,000 people were saved. And then verse 38, because the people are like, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There it was, you need to repent and be baptized. Okay? Mark 16 says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. So we need to believe, as Philip told the Ethiopian. And Peter says, we need to repent. Okay? Those are two requirements. They're kind of the same, aren't they? You know, if you repent and believe, it kind of goes together. But what is repent? Right? Is it leading someone in a prayer and them going away unchanged and being exactly the same? Repent means to have a change of mind. What's the change? I think it's explained clearly in Romans 6. So repent means to have a change of mind. Romans 6 explains what baptism symbolizes. And you know, when someone's getting baptized, it is a symbol. It's a testimony of what has already taken place. It's not taking place in the tank. That's not the way it's supposed to be, or in the water. It's already taken place, and it's a testimony of what's happened. Okay, so it says here in Romans 6, verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And then let's jump to verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So baptism is, we're testifying that my old man is dead. My old man is crucified with Christ. The old man is the one that's a slave of sin. The old man is the one that wants to sin. It's a slave and it just wants to keep sinning. So if we've repented and had a change of mind, the change of mind is the old man's dead. There's a new man now. The new man doesn't want to sin anymore. Does it mean the new man will never ever sin? Well, no, he's gonna even, you know, we slip up, right? We may sin, but we're not practicing sin. We might stumble, but we get up again. We repent again, right? We repent and turn. But the new man doesn't want to sin again. And that is the change of mind. And that's what I wanted to stress, right? The requirement is repent and believe. And repentance means a change of mind. The change of mind is, I don't want to sin anymore. I'm done with it. I hate it. I don't want to do it anymore. Before, I wanted to. I didn't care. You know, we've all been there before. We just go after our sin. It's pleasurable. But when we're born again, we don't want to sin anymore. And that's the important thing. And so today when Jacob's being baptized, it's a testimony that his old man is dead. Right? He is a new creation. He has been born again. Right? And that's where it starts. Doesn't mean that you've reached this certain level of maturity. You know, we don't have to wait until we've, you know, got a PhD, so to speak, in our Christian walk. It's a baby. We're a baby. When you're born again, you're a babe. And then immediately, just like the Ethiopian, believed and was baptized. And it was important because in that short explanation that Philip gave to him about Jesus, baptism was right at the top of the list.